AT&T Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect this afternoon. We have a special guest via Skype, Stu Fullendorf. He's an author and a pastor. He is the pastor of Redemption Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado. Stu, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Happy to be with you, Jim.
Stu, am I saying your last name correctly, Fullendorf?
Perfect.
Oh, perfect. Well, it's really spelled just like it sounds. So appreciate you so much being here. And Stu, all the stuff you have out about your new book, Wall Street to the Well, A Story of Transformation from Fortune to Faith. And when you talk about fortune, some of the things you have in your book don't really speak of fortune. They talk of real challenge and things going on in your life that were especially difficult. You were once a millionaire, and yet you were still disillusioned and unhappy. Can you tell us about your life before you met the Lord?
Sure. I actually grew up as a rancher and farmer in a farming family in northeastern Colorado, and my family were seeker. They were actually seeker family. They were Jehovah's Witnesses at one point, and they were always looking for answers. And as I moved on in life, my parents, after 16 years of marriage, got divorced. And it was at that point that I became very self-sufficient. I tried to look for answers in all the places that I was really actually the wrong places. And to be honest with you, Jim, there was a point in my life where when my parents got divorced, the church actually hurt my mom. And so they at one point were going to a Christian church, at least seemingly so. And then when they got divorced, she felt like the people kind of turned on her. So my worldview as a 14-year-old started to become formed at that point forward. And I've learned later in life that, you know, I learned not to blame Jesus, that it's that people are people and it's a fallen world. But at that time, we were hurt by it. And so I really turned to myself. I turned to self-sufficiency. It can go one of two directions. My world became very much about taking care of me, and I grew away from any concept of God. And so as I got older in life, that was my overriding worldview.
Stu, there's a lot of people that are listening, and I would expect that some of them have had great success vocationally. You mentioned that you made a lot of money in your lifetime, very successful in business. And yet, I think now you look back, how would you evaluate your physical and mental health during those times where you had the most monetary prosperity? Did you feel fulfilled in all of that?
Well, I went through three public offerings with companies. I became a CFO at 31 years old. And so at a fairly young age, I was accomplishing what I thought I wanted. And as I started to gain wealth, as I started to do things like buying homes on golf courses, and I ordered a British Racing Green Jaguar directly from England, and was getting the material possessions that I thought I was working for, and I thought it would really add purpose in my life, the more and more I obtained, the more of a sense of dissatisfaction I was faced with. So it's a little bit like Ecclesiastes, man. Vanity of vanity, it's all vanity. And as I was accomplishing all these things that I thought I wanted, I ended up becoming more discouraged and in some despair, because I accomplished those things, they weren't adding meaning to my life. And so there's only so many cars you can buy, and so many houses that you can buy, and so many millions, and those items simply weren't filling that empty hole in my heart, as Blaise Pascal would say. And so I was looking for all these answers in all different places except for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Stu, I want to go back to what you said a little bit earlier about how you felt in some ways when you were very young that the church kind of hurt your mom when your parents got divorced. And my parents, fortunately, have been married for 65 years. And mm-hmm. I can tell you they were absolutely great parents. My mother is a gentle heart. And I'll never forget, my dad was working multiple jobs, you know, three and four jobs just to try to keep our family afloat. And I remember going to a Sunday school during the summer. And remember, after one Sunday school, we only made it to church about twice a month because my dad would take us camping. He would try to take off at least one weekend a month. and he would take us camping and do a lot with our family. So even though he was working all the time, he wanted to be with us and as much as he could. And I remember this man coming up when I was about 12 years old and making my mom cry in the lobby of the church when I was very young. Again, I'm 6'7" now. When I was 12, I was about 5'11", so I was already taller than most of these grown men. And as soon as this man made my mother cry, I was so angry, I said to myself, I'll never go to church again. So there's a lot of people that have experienced, myself included, where the church has done something. And I don't want to say the church is made up of its people. But yes. I guess now as a pastor, you're able to tell people, look, you know, you got to love people through all of these difficult things. And you're not really familiar with all the circumstances and everything that goes on. So hope people are listening and have a sensitivity to that, especially people in the church, because we always need to be gentle and we need to have kindness and love guide us in how we communicate to people, because people are going through tough stuff. So you were very successful. You went through all of these great exercises to build businesses and bring them public, which is essentially selling them, and created a lot of cash. What changed, Stu? What happened that really changed your life?
Well, the first thing that happened for us, and I, by the way, I couldn't agree more about the church. As the Lord pulled me up and I fell in love with Jesus, I realized that that's exactly what church is. Is a church is the body of Christ, full of, you know, broken sinners that need to be pastored, as to what being a Christian really is. And so, you know, my faith lies in God and God Almighty, and I love what I do now. But what happened with me is, first of all, my wife and I were married in a Roman Catholic church when we first met, and it wouldn't have mattered to me whether I was married in a Buddhist temple or circus in Vegas. I wasn't a Christian at all, and she really wasn't either. She was just a kind of not what we'd call a nominal Roman Catholic. And then in the mid-90s, when she was 34, 35 years old, she became a Christian. She went and met with a pastor. She was going to church and went to a woman's retreat. And so her life in the mid to late 90s really started to transform, and I was actually not ambivalent about it at all. I was angry. I was becoming an arguing atheist. I was advocating people like Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris and these different atheists, Bertrand Russell, and their points of view. And so what happened with me is, over time, though, we were unequally yoked, and there was a lot of friction and tension and anger in our marriage. I saw her life starting to transform, and she was becoming a different person, and the things that were so important to me became much less important to her, and she seemed to have this mysterious peace about her. And at one point then, when we moved to Seattle, I was again becoming more and more discouraged, more and more dissatisfied. The company I was with, EFTC, we had taken public out of Colorado. It was named the number one public company in Colorado in 1998, and she was a Christian, and I remember how dissatisfied I was even as that article came out, even though we were able to buy anything we wanted and so forth. And so I was looking for answers, and we moved to Seattle. And so when we moved to Seattle, she found a church in Seattle that she absolutely adored, a church called Mars Hill Church. And she asked me to go to church numerous times over a few years, and I wouldn't go. And finally, I went to church with her, and I could see how her life was changing. I was curious, and I heard a sermon. And so my heart started to soften from that sermon. The sermon was actually on predestinationism. How's that for a seeker-friendly sermon?
That's interesting.
And so I just remember the pastor, who was a man who's fairly well-known, named Mark Driscoll, was in the front of the pulpit yelling, for all you middle-aged men, if you don't understand this, it's infallible, you're not God. And I was kind of sitting back thinking, well, I kind of functionally thought I was God.
Right.
And so from that point forward, my heart started to soften. But my wife and I went through a 5 or 6 year period before my heart started to soften, where it was a very difficult, and I talk about it in the book, a very difficult time period for us. She would hide the Bible when she was reading it. I would criticize her for being a Jesus freak and a Bible thumper. And, you know, it was very difficult. But what I saw was my wife's life changing. And then as I started to be asked to go to Bible studies and community groups, my heart started to soften.
That's a neat story. Wall Street to the Well. We're talking with Stu Fullendorf, the author and pastor up in Redemption Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado. We're going to be back with more from Stu right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with expositional teachings from Dr. Skip Heitzig, now available from Veritas International University, featuring online classes from The Bible from 30,000 Feet, the renowned book and teaching series by Dr. Skip Heitzig of Calvary Church, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule and work toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Plus, when you complete the Bible from 30,000 Feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. For a complete list of classes and to enroll, visit calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2019 Star 88 Golf Tournament, Saturday morning, September 21st, 8 o'clock at Santa Ana Golf Club. This four-person scramble will help Star 88 meet the 2019 budget, while a portion of the proceeds will benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Enjoy a day filled with golf and giveaways and godly fellowship. Breakfast is provided by Monroe's New Mexican Food. Lunch provided by Chick-fil-A. Sponsors are needed right now, and golfers will receive a discount for signing up early at star88.fm/golf. Our friends at Water Extraction Experts helped tee up the Star 88 Golf Tournament.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect this afternoon. Stu Fullendorf, author and pastor, on the phone with us here this afternoon. Stu, again, thank you for joining us. His book is called Wall Street to the Well, and this is a gentleman that has experienced a myriad of things in his young life. He went a stout atheist when he was younger to coming to faith through a woman that you have just described in our last segment as a pretty tough lady, Stu.
She is, and she's also incredibly gentle and faithful. I can tell you during the time period where we were unequally yoked, it was tough for her. And what she'll always tell people is that she realized that it was a period of her life where happiness wasn't as important as growing in holiness.
Well, she had to just be doing all kinds of things to keep herself going in those years, because you describe yourself as being angry, being an atheist, and not cooperating with her invitations to go visit the church, but finally you did. And do you think that was just the Holy Spirit kind of finally saying, come on, Stu, let's go?
I think so. I think God is sovereign and providential in all that he does. Not think. I know the Bible says this. And so he had a different plan for my life as far as experiencing life in a certain way. We moved to Seattle, took another company called MetaWave Public. Lots of what seemingly were material blessings, and yet I couldn't find satisfaction in those. And so by the time we got to a place where I was ready to take a third technology company public in Seattle, a company called Isilon, I was really searching for answers. My story is really one of being saved from the pit of material blessings. And so unlike a lot of times where people are really hurting, I was hurting, but I was hurting in a different way. I was accomplishing everything I wanted, and I was finding no meaning in it.
Stu, when you talk about your wife and being unequally yoked, I mean, what was a typical day like with her then? And then what's a typical day like now? How has your relationship changed?
Yeah, great question. I we had one thing in common when she became a Christian and I didn't, and that was that we both loved the Denver Broncos. Other than that, we had basically nothing in common. I can tell you that after becoming a Christian, we can talk about this, but my political views changed, my social views and all of that, but Trish's values changed dramatically to a biblical worldview, and mine were just the opposite. I mean, I was socially liberal, I was pro-choice, I was socially progressive in many, many ways. I was an avid objectivist, loved Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged, was influencing people towards the idea that there wasn't a God. And that's the hardest faith there is to believe, as I found out, because atheism is a religion that is a very hard faith.
Sure.
But I was arguing it. And so we've gone from there to after getting saved and becoming a Christian, where seemingly every value we have is biblical, is scripturally based, and we have just a wonderful life. It doesn't mean that everything's up and to the right all the time, but we have an incredible marriage. Beforehand, she would be reading the Bible and she would hide it from me. She would leave books around the house that she would want me to leave, read books like Chuck Colson, Born Again, of course, the Bible, and How Now Shall We Live, and she C.S. Lewis, and she wanted so desperately for me to become a Christian. She'd pray for me constantly. She'd lay hands on me when I was asleep in bed. One time we actually went out just to give you a sense of what it was like, we went to in 2001, a restaurant in Seattle called Canlis. So this is 18 years ago, and for our anniversary, and she looked at me and took my hand and said, "Stu, I just wanted you to know that I love you." And I said, "Trish, I think you're a Jesus freak and a Bible thumper. I can't imagine why that you would love me." And it didn't go well after that.
Wow.
And after becoming a Christian, our life is not perfect, but it's been an incredible transformation of marriage, and Jesus Christ is at the center of it.
Stu, you obviously have tremendous leadership abilities, and I suppose that you would view all of that as God's gift, even though you didn't believe in some of those things back when you were so successful in business and continue to be successful, just not taking companies public and stuff. You're preaching the word at a church in Littleton, Colorado. I guess my question is, what are you going to say to men that have an attitude and maybe even an arrogance toward their wives, and they're not listening, and their marriages are in trouble, even though they may be having a lot of success as you did financially? What can you say to those men that their hearts might be broken and open up to what their wives are saying to them?
Yeah, that's great. Here's the main idea from the book, and that is that if we have Jesus Christ as the center of our worship, and our lives are centered on our faithfulness and the blood of the Lamb in our own lives, and we know that all things belong to Him, and that our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him fully, then we can have a life where we can enjoy God's good gifts, including, whether it's leadership skills or business skills or communication skills in radio or whatever they happen to be, and know that those aren't the idols in our life. My experience with most men who reached the pinnacle of some of the things that I did, which were taking a few companies public. In fact, it was on the road show of the third company that I was actually saved. I know that when those are the overriding priority in one's life, and that's what you're filling the hole in your heart with, that there's a great sense of dissatisfaction. So any man who might be listening to this, or I would encourage women as well who might be unequally yoked with men, they're going to feel a sense of dissatisfaction because we're made to be in relationship with God. If men don't have a relationship with God and don't have Jesus in their life, there's always going to be a sense of dissatisfaction, always, 100% of the time. There may be periods in life where we think that we're happy with what we have and material items, but ultimately we are not. And so we can have those items as long as they're not the idols in our lives. Good things become God things, become bad things. And yes. I had a lot of blessings in my life, and they became bad things because they were God for me. And it was only after being saved that I realized that I could live a joyous life, both in joy and suffering, and that Christ was sufficient for me. And that's the same for everybody. I would encourage them.
Amen. We're talking with Stu Fullendorf. He is the pastor of Redemption Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado, and the author of Wall Street to the Well, A Story of Transformation from Fortune to Faith. After we come back, we're going to have open up the phones to callers at 505-338-5790. If you have a question you'd like to ask Stu, please call us at 505-338-5790. We'll be back with Stu Fullendorf right after these messages.
Everyone likes hometown flavors. For Albuquerque, it's red or green. Well, did you know you can get great hometown teaching as well? Crosspoints Radio with Pastor Scott Tom. Another part of the quality KNKT weekend programming on 107.1 FM. Get local teaching Saturday nights at 8:30 right here on KNKT. Or visit crossfellowship.org for on-demand teaching, apologetics, and ministry training. Again, that website is crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
We want to help you gain a biblical and balanced understanding of the person and workings of the Holy Spirit by sending you Power, a book by Chuck Smith with an introduction by Skip Heitzig.
The world needs men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is controlled by God's Holy Spirit. Pastor Chuck Smith was one such man, and that's why I'm excited to offer his book called Power as this month's resource. Now, Chuck Smith was my pastor. I knew him for many years. His teachings were vital to my spiritual growth, and they're still relevant today. I'm confident that his biblical, balanced understanding of the Holy Spirit in this book will enhance your life.
Power is our gift to you when you give a suggested gift of $25 today. We really want to send you this insightful resource. So give what you can to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
This is Jim Williams, and I think KNKT is a special broadcast channel. It is live, it is local, and it's all about New Mexico. But KNKT also gives you a solid look at mega global issues from a Christian worldview. That is why I want you to know about ABQ Connect 2.0. We'll be talking big issues that have local impact. This is going to be fun and informative. Join us. KNKT loves New Mexico, and so do I. Keep up at knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We do love New Mexico around here, but we've got a Coloradoan on the phone with us, Stu Fullendorf. He's an author and a pastor. He pastors Redemption Hills Church in Littleton, Colorado. Stu, again, thanks you so much for joining us. Wall Street to the Well is your book, and I wanted to ask you now about the seduction of success. You had great success, and of course, after this, we're going to talk about whether you can be successful and be a Christian in business, which I know the answer is yes, but we're going to have to talk to somebody like yourself to find out about it. Why is success so dangerous for people sometimes?
Well, I think that we're pulled by the enemy. There's three different enemies of the Christian faith. One of them is, you know, our own flesh. One of them is Satan, and another one is the world. And material quests play against all three of those enemies. We think that we can accomplish certain things and acquire things, and it satisfies the flesh. Ultimately, we know that, you know, our flesh is in disease, and we'll, you know, there's something better than that in the state of glory. And then the enemy will use material possessions to try to pull us away from Jesus. So those material possessions then end up becoming gods in and of ourselves. And by the way, those material possessions aren't just cars. They can be things like our kids' performance or spouses. So it can be even more complicated than that. And then of course, in the world, particularly in such a vibrant, robust, and successful country as the United States, we value material possessions to the point of idolatry. So all three of those things are you know, really play against our Christian walk.
Stu, let me ask you maybe the opposite of that question. We've been kind of talking about men that are very successful and prideful. And, of course, we could be talking about a woman in today's day and age that is a CEO and highly successful, very wealthy, and really the same kinds of things apply. What I want to ask you is about what about people that have had a financial failure and they're, you know, feeling terrible about themselves, they're mad at God for losing, their self-image is destroyed. How can these people come to faith in Christ?
Yeah, I think and that's part of my story. After the third company that we took public, the stock options, if I would just held them, would be worth about $250 million. I took them, cashed them out, bought a wine distributorship, had alcohol problems, had to go through rehab, and ultimately lost all the money. And here's what I realized in all of that, Jim, and that's that God was gracious in all of that. In fact, Hebrews 12:25 and forward says that God will shake that which is shakable to leave the unshakable to remain. So although as difficult as it was that I had financial failure to the point of one company actually having to be unwound in bankruptcy, I realized after becoming a Christian that God is so great and so big that his hand is in both joy and suffering. Now, is he the author of evil? Of course not. But he uses suffering in our own lives to shake that which is shakable to leave the unshakable to remain. And one of the great blessings in my life is I realized that God was taking me through much as Christ suffered. Now, my suffering wasn't for righteousness' sake, but I was suffering and God's hand was in it, and he was making me a different person. And I don't know how we become holier and sanctified without some suffering in our life. And often it can be great and dramatic suffering, like a financial failure. I would encourage anybody out there who is having a financial failure like I did, from the great heights of Wall Street to losing everything, that God will use that for good for those who love him. I mean, I think it's very, very clear that for those who love God, God uses all things and puts them all together for good for those called according to his purpose. And we can rest assured that in light of all that failure, that a good, loving, perfect God uses that, and he loves us and works it for good.
Wall Street to the Well, A Story of Transformation from Fortune to Faith, is Stu Fullendorf's book. Stu has had a great experience in life, but I wanted to ask you, Stu, if you would have a word to say to people that are islands, if you will. They have had a failure, failed marriage, failed business, whatever it might be, and they have a tendency to isolate themselves from everyone. What word could you share with them about how to recover and how to get back in fellowship?
Yeah. We are made for community, and again, God will work the greatest suffering as he did for Jesus Christ into good. We have a tendency, particularly depending on whether we're introverts or extroverts, but particularly if you're more introverted, to withdraw. We see this in addiction. We see it in other aspects of life. And one of the great things about church, and one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing, is it's in the fellowship of the saints that we get to learn from our suffering. We get to be around people. We get to serve. And we get to become different, holier, more sanctified people by going through suffering. I praise God for the blessings that I have, but what I've learned in my own life is sometimes the things that are the biggest blessings that I thought become the biggest curses for me, whether it's money or whatever. And then the things that I thought at the time were incredibly difficult sufferings, which they were, or curses, end up becoming the greatest of all blessings. And so I try to understand one thing about Jesus Christ, and that is that he is sufficient in all things, as Paul would say in Philippians. And boy, I would just encourage everybody to live life both in joy and in suffering, and understand that the perfect loving God who loves you is part of that.
Stu, have you ever seen someone or been around someone that has had a great, very confident walk with the Lord and yet has also had these financial successes? Have you seen that, or is it mutually exclusive?
Oh, I've seen incredibly godly men who have been blessed materially and financially. I've seen some of the most ungodly people who were poor. So it's not the money. It's not our status and state in life. It's where our heart is. I have been around truly some of the godliest, most wonderful people who are multi-millionaires, and they've learned that those blessings are from God Almighty, that every resource that they have is a blessing from him. And they live a life of just of wonderful joy. I've met other people who are poor to the nth degree and live a life of wonderful joy. And I've met people who have nothing who are despicable. And so what we have has very little to do with our walk in life. Now, having a lot pull us away. It could be idolatry. And having little can lead to resentments and discouragement. And neither one of those are close relationships with Jesus Christ. So yeah, I've met many, many people who are wealthy, who are incredibly godly people.
Stu Fullendorf, author of Wall Street to the Well, A Story of Transformation from Fortune to Faith, online with us here right now here at ABQ Connect. 505-338-5790 is our phone number if you'd like to speak with Stu. I've got some Hinkle Family Fun Passes to give to our first caller that calls in this afternoon. We're going to be back with more with Stu Fullendorf right after these messages.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade of Dave Slade and Associates. Holly, you're the expert I go to when I've got the real estate questions I need answers to.
Thanks, Steve.
I was talking to a young man not long ago who's been in a job for 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. He's doing pretty good. And, he was talking about wanting to buy a home someday. And I said, what's keeping you from doing that? And he says, well, I don't have a down payment yet. So what would you tell a young person that's thinking about buying?
You know, there are so many first-time home buyer programs out right now, and even next home buyer programs that only require $500 down. So as long as somebody's got $500, they can get in on a conventional program, they can get in on an FHA program, and with zero down, they can get in on a VA program. So down payment right now is just really not an issue. There's so much opportunity.
And $500 in today's economy, Holly, I could almost shake that out of my car on my couch. Really, if someone is thinking about it and they've got those questions, and really, maybe it's almost a little anxiety about buying as a young person. They don't know really the path to take. They need to talk to the expert. How do they reach you?
They should give us a call. 75% of young people, it is still the American dream to own a home. So we'd like to help them with that. So give us a call at 342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Stu Fullendorf is our interview this afternoon. Thanks for joining us, Stu. He is up in Colorado, the pastor of Redemption Hills Church. Stu, you've now gone from being responsible for your own life and the lives of your family to being responsible for pastoring and ministering to a whole bunch of people. How's that transition been?
It's been a joy. It's been a challenge. It's been full of suffering and full of happiness, and there's nothing that I'd rather do in the whole world. I went from, again, being a man who argued against God to being one that is working very hard to teach people who God is through his word. And so it's been an amazing experience. I've had the opportunity to minister at big churches. I was a pastor of a big church in Denver called Mission Hills, which was, about 4,000 weekly attendees, to taking on a few years ago a church of 35 people, basically a church plant in Redemption Hills, has now grown to about 140, and we're glorifying God and enjoying life together and doing God's work. So it's been wonderful.
There's got to be a big contrast between having a small congregation and a big congregation. Are you having to wear all the hats in your church now?
I certainly did it at the beginning, and as we've grown, we've been able to bring another pastor and another bivocational pastor on board, and our elders have taken on more. And so as we're growing, we've delegated, and we're ministering to people. But what I love about the smaller church is I get to know everybody, and I get to know their lives and get to pastor and speak into their lives, and they into mine. And so my biggest concern is we get too big. So, at some point or another, our philosophy is going to be that we grow to a certain level and we're going to church plant and not, hopefully not get too big. But, there's nothing wrong with big churches, but that's part of the challenge.
Stu, I want to deviate a little bit from my list of questions that we had put together, and I want to go all the way back to when you were 14, and you mentioned that your parents went through a divorce. And can you share with all of us, and maybe some young people are listening, I know I had a failed marriage after 27 years. I have five children. Three of them were still pretty young. How can you address to the children how they should react to that and how they should feel? Because I know you felt, obviously, a lot of hurt when your parents split.
Yeah,
And when my folks split up, it's a great question, Jim. When my folks split up, it was not amicable at all. In fact, I talk about it in my book about the point where they tried to reconcile and my father moved out and my mom had taken some pills and drank and actually went after him with a kitchen knife. She was in such pain. And I grabbed her hand and my dad left and she and I both collapsed to the floor in tears and I hugged her as she sobbed. And then my mom was married six more times after that marriage and it broke her heart. So, divorce is never good, as you know. There are reasons for divorce, but there's always damage along the way. And one of the big damages for me was, you know, just turning internally and focusing on me and kind of growing away from the concept of relationships and being supported. So my biggest hope if people are going through the difficulty of marriage is that they would think very, very, very strongly about the impact on their kids, and then the kids themselves are counseled and loved through the divorce. I think as hard as divorce is, if the parents can think outside of themselves and think about the kids' best interests in terms of, you know, living conditions and what the Bible says about, you know, love moves all things, love conquers all things, that even in light of the brokenness of divorce, love can overcome. And so that would be my biggest, is lots of prayers and lots of love.
Well, you obviously acknowledge that divorce does happen, but in your case, you had a difficult marriage and your wife was a believer and you were not, and she stuck in there and hung in there and had amazing results. Do you feel like today, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but it seems like people give up too early. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, and we don't value, we see marriage as kind of a, you know, a clay pot that just is easily fragile and broken, as opposed to seeing it as a covenant and a covenant made before God. And again, I recognize that, you know, our lives are complicated and it's a fallen world and in perfection, which we don't have in this world, you know, that we would take marriage and look at it as a covenant, as a promise that is unbreakable as God has made a covenant to us. But we do, in our culture, we do see marriage in a way too shallow of a light, meaning we walk away from it at times without putting our best effort into it. My wife and I were able to get through that very difficult time period because my wife was a devout Christian, loved the Lord, and she'll always say she just couldn't find that verse that would allow her to leave. In my case, though I threatened to leave her, I was so damaged by the divorce, and this probably is the reverse of the benefit. I was so damaged by the pain of my own parents' divorces. I was very determined not to get divorced. So two different reasons. Trisha's reason was much more elegant and, you know, godly than mine. But God kept us together, and now we are to minister and counsel to people, and we do marriage counseling often. And again, this book has been the result of this book has been we've had many, many, particularly women, but men and women who have come to us for counseling. And so that's one of the great blessings.
You have two grown children, Hannah and Eric. If we had Hannah and Eric on the phone, what would they say would be the most difficult thing that they observed in you and your wife before you came to know the Lord?
Yeah, I think that they would both have different views, because not only were we unequally yoked, but I was a problem drinker. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I had to go through recovery, and I've been fortunate to be sober for many years now. But my drinking and lack of attention to my daughter was damaging to her. And so my daughter, who just got married last month, she and I continue to work through it, and we love each other, but we still go to counseling and we still have a biblical worldview. And my daughter just got her master's degree in clinical counseling from Denver Seminary. So she's even got some insights that are helping us continue to reconcile. Because when you become a Christian at the age of 43 and, you know, when alcohol is part of it and substances, there's a lot of baggage as well. My son and I are, you know, different. He sees me as a man who's wholly redeemed. We have a great relationship. I have a great relationship with my daughter too, but, you know, he'd be like, well, Dad, you know, you drank a little bit and you were working hard for the family. And so he sees things differently than my daughter does. So our issues are more just about, like many men and sons, diving deeper in relationship together and not being so shallow. I'm talking about you know, hoops or football. But we love each other. So my kids both have different, have been impacted differently by my salvation and our prior experiences.
Stu, I haven't shared this with anybody really, but my oldest daughter is getting married this Saturday. And I have four additional children. And, you know, occasionally it'll come up, you know, drink a little wine or drink this or that. And I'm always fearful to say it's okay. I mean, I know it's, you know, the Bible even talks about a little bit of wine and this and that, but I'm always fearful that someone would have a propensity to developing an addictive pattern regarding these things. What do you have to say to people about just, you know, casual drinking and things like that?
Yes, I'm not a legalist at all. I'll come sometimes even joke about it at our church, but all things in moderation. I can't drink because, again, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and my congregation, I've been very open. In fact, I talk about it openly in this book. I talk about my time in rehab, becoming a Christian, knowing that I could not glorify God by being a drinker. So I actually went to rehab in Seattle and got sober, and recovery is still a big part of my life. And actually, I tell a story in the book about how it was a secular rehab, and my wife and I were smuggling Bibles into rehab. So everybody chuckles at that, but it's true. And I helped, you know, put a prayer group together in rehab, and I love people in recovery. There's nothing better than people who have been sober for a period of time. Just their wisdom is amazing. But I'm not a legalist when it comes to drinking, but I don't want, like you, I don't want to tempt people to drink if they might have a problem. I'm so open about it with our congregation and here on the radio that people know that I just simply don't drink, and I can't. And if I do, I don't react to it the same way that other people did, because I was, you know, functional and then a non-functional alcoholic by the time I was 43 years old. And I talk about my recovery and the importance of that in my Christian walk in the book. So yeah, I hear you loud and clear, but I'm not a legalist around it. I'm perfectly fine. Maybe I'm more of a Presbyterian, if you will, although our church is non-denominational in terms of, you know, being accepting of that. But even in our communion, we have juice. We don't have wine because people are just respectful of my background and where I come from.
I really appreciate that testimony very much. Wall Street to the Well, a story of transformation from fortune to faith. The author, Stu Fullendorf, on the phone with us here this afternoon. Stay with us on KNKT. I better get those letters right. KNKT. We'll be right back.
The best part of sending summer off is prepping next season's wardrobe at Macy's Fall Preview Sale. Going on now. New arrivals and top designers like INC, DKNY, and Alfani are an extra 15 to 25% off with your coupon or Macy's card. Get them excited about their first day look with 40% off juniors back to school. Plus, have the basics covered. Buy one bra and get the second 50% off. And for even more perks, check out Macy's Star Rewards. You'll get benefits no matter how you pay. Savings off regular sale prices. Exclusions apply.
This is Jim Williams, host of ABQ Connect 2.0, heard each weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KNKT. Did you know that there are only three radio formats that tend not to be relegated to the background? They are talk radio, Christian, and sports. Audiences of these stations have their attention riveted to the content of the station itself. Advertisers on KNKT enjoy front page status, and our loyal KNKT family listens to your information. They don't just hear it. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com.
Do you know basic theology? Basin theology is just as important. Skip Heitzig kicks us off with Pontius Pilate's example.
He called for a basin of water to wash his hands of the situation. Remember that?
Remember that?
That's the basin of Pilate. That's the basin of self-preservation.
Hotspot. And here's the example to live by.
But on the night before Jesus died, he also called for a basin of water and washed his disciples' feet. That's the basin of self-sacrifice. So which basin will you use?
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Basin theology is when we see the needs of other people and we desire to meet those needs. Basin theology is when we take basic theology and actually decide, I'm going to live it. I'm going to actually do it.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app. Now, here's some heavenly math.
Humbleness equals happiness.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Stu Fullendorf on the phone with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Stu, again, thanks for joining us this afternoon. In an earlier segment, you and earlier segments, you have talked about all kinds of prosperity, and you've talked about some failures. You've talked about making great amounts of money, losing money. You've talked about your learning about the Lord through your wife who stuck it out. You've talked about both failures and victories. And I thought this subject would be a little bit sensitive, so I want to not offend you or anyone else that might be listening. But in your media package, you mentioned that at one time you weighed 300 pounds, Stu. Was that symptomatic of things going on in your life?
Yeah, I'd say that food has been the battle for me as an idol, just like drinking and pride and many other issues. I love food. I went from over 300, actually, Jim. I was about 310 to 185, and now I've put on a few pounds. But much like anything else, food, which are the gifts, a good, great gift of God, can then be where we turn to during difficult or joyful seasons. And so I think it's pretty clear to people who might be listening that I have one of these personalities that I can become, you know, a bit radical and even addicted to things. And so the reason why I brought up the weight issue is because, again, it's what we're filling that empty hole in our heart with. And love great food, love food in general, but, you know, it can lead to health issues and other idolatrous behaviors. And so, yeah, I'm very fortunate that, again, moderation has been incurred in that issue in my life.
You know, Stu, we can all go to the book when we want to read something about God's Word. We can go straight to the Bible. But when you're interested in losing weight or changing your life and becoming more healthy physically, where do you go? What do you learn? What did you do to lose that weight?
Yeah, I the Bible was so important to me in terms of where I was gaining my purpose. So again, one of the reasons I got sober was understanding that drinking is a worship disorder. I call it a worship disorder. That's the next book I'm working on, and it's really this whole where are we turning to for meaning and purpose and finding value in our life. So if we're turning to drugs and alcohol, of course, then alcoholism or drug addiction follows. If we're turning towards food and medicating ourselves, then obesity or vice versa. If you're, you know, bulimic or anorexic, you can suffer great health damage by, you know, caring too much about your body image. And so all of these things are symptomatic of the struggles of the flesh and the struggles of our spiritual life. And so again, the reason why I brought these things up in the book is, you know, there's one answer to all of these matters, and it's easier said than done, but it's a deep and intimate relationship with the Lord God, Jesus Christ. And when we're able to turn to Jesus, we can enjoy exercise. We can enjoy food in moderation. You were talking about enjoying wine in moderation, you know, all the good gifts that God has given us without those things becoming idols.
Well, I love the fact that all of these things that have been failures in your life and all the things that have been successes are part of your testimony, and God's using you to bring people closer to Him. So congratulations on all of that. I mean, it's an amazing testimony. So tell us a little bit now about, I was going to ask you if you're going to be writing another book. And you've already mentioned the book Worship Disorder. So yeah. that's fascinating. And do you enjoy writing, or does it take too much of your time? How does that work in your daily schedule?
Yeah, I enjoy writing. I frankly enjoy pastoring more, but I also enjoy writing, and it comes in spurts for me, where I'll be, you know, obviously influenced and driven by the Holy Spirit, and I'll write quite a bit, and then the highest priority for me is my flock and, you know, teaching them the word and preaching. But I do enjoy writing. And I think there's some things, particularly since I'm older and became a Christian older in life, that I think that God would want me to say to people. And it's not just about my memoir in this. It's about all to God's glory. And you were saying congratulations. I would say, you know, it's all to God's glory. And so the things that I've learned in my own life about having millions and losing millions and gaining, putting on a lot of weight and taking it off and becoming an alcoholic and getting sober. And God has directed me in such a way that I think there are things that we can learn biblically from all those things. And so my biggest prayer is just to God be the glory.
Amen. You use the word workaholic in your media package. What do you say to people right now that are just workaholics and they're not taking the time to really look at the Lord, take care of their families? They're just constantly working.
Yeah, it is part of it's all the same symptom, isn't it? Where we're finding meaning and purpose in our life. If our career is where we're filling that empty hole and that's where we're focused on our worship disorder on, then we're going to be workaholics and need 100 hours, 60 to 80, whatever it is, to the detriment of our family, of our spiritual life and our emotional life. So I don't know that workaholism is any different than alcoholism or gluttony or being obsessed with our kids' performance or anything else in life. I think there's great value in hard work, but if our meaning and purpose in life is coming from our work, we're focused on the wrong false god there.
Amen. More with Stu Fullendorf in our last segment. Stay with us here on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
As you grow in your relationship with Jesus, it's normal to have questions.
God has given us His Holy Spirit living inside of us. He's given us the Word of God to direct us. And the combination of those two mean that God is in the business of answering questions.
You are not alone in your walk with Christ. God has made His very presence available to you.
So the question can never be, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit in my life? The question should be, how can the Holy Spirit get hold of more of my life?
We want to help you gain a biblical understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives and in the church by sending you Power, a book by Chuck Smith with an introduction by Skip Heitzig. We'll send you Power when you give a suggested gift of $25 to help expand this Bible teaching outreach. We really want you to have a copy of Power, so give what you can today. To give online securely, visit connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer. Or call 800-922-1888.
My son is drinking, and I think he's taking drugs. I feel like he's slipping away.
I want to break every mirror and every scale in this house. Why do I feel so ugly?
She friended him on Facebook. Now she won't get off the computer.
He hurt me for years. Why do I still blame myself?
If you need help, call the Focus on the Family Help Center.
We're glad you called, and you're not alone.
No matter what you're going through, stand strong. There is hope at the end of the line. The Focus on the Family Help Center at 1-800-A-FAMILY.
Life to the World Ministries is letting critically ill and sick kids know that God loves them through books and a brand new free Christopher's Adventures app. Military men and women are also encouraged through their books and apps. The newest military app is called Wounded Heroes. This app is for the men and women who have been seriously wounded. To help Life to the World Ministries help others, visit them on the web at www.lifetotheworldministries.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Wall Street to the Well, a book by Stu Fullendorf, a story of transformation from fortune to faith. In your media packet, Stu, you mentioned that there came a phone call, and it gave you new hope and new direction. What was that phone call?
I had been notified that I was being sued by the Securities and Exchange Commission after I had left with my last public company, Isilon Systems, for accounting fraud. And I'd done many things, Jim, but I'd actually not done this. And so I was in despair. And so I got a call from my lawyer, Peter Ehrlichman, who is the son of John Ehrlichman from Watergate. Mm-hmm. And went back to the townhome that we owned in Portland, Oregon, where our business was. And I had full intention. This is before I gave up drinking, to drink, you know, vodka and medicate myself over the fact that I was going to be faced with a potential multi-year lawsuit by the federal government. And when I got home, and I knew that there was going to be an article in the newspaper the next day in the Seattle Times about this lawsuit, I got a phone call, and I looked down. It could have been the media, but I took the call anyway. God kind of led me in, and it was a man named Chuck Colson who called me.
Wow.
And it's the introduction in the book, and so Chuck said, "Hey, is this Stu?" And I said, "It is." And he said, "I understand you're going to be entering in a tough time period." And Peter Ehrlichman, my lawyer, had known that I'd become a Christian a couple of years before, and I'd read Born Again a couple of times, and I love Chuck Olson. And so he had, whoever, I think it was Peter, let him know that, I was going to be facing this challenge. And so when Chuck told me it was him, I was in a really bad mood, and I said, yeah, I'll pull this leg and we'll play Jingle Bells, because I was not in a good mood. And then he kind of chuckled on the other line. He said, no, this is Chuck Colson. And so it was an amazing, I had never met him before. He took time out of his day. And of course he's passed away since, but he basically just said, I understand you're going to be entering into a tough time period. And I just wanted to call you and let you know that, God will use this, and you will become a holier person, and he will use it for good. And, I kind of questioned, and I said, well, Chuck, I didn't do it. And he said, well, I did. And so he took all the air out of the balloon in case I had done it. He wanted me to know that it was perfectly okay to say I had. And he talked to me for 20 minutes, and it was an amazing conversation that changed my life. He talked to me about Genesis 50, verse 20, about where Joseph says, for what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. And we talked about Job and suffering, and it was just a transformational phone call. And sure enough, I thought much about that call later in life, and God moved me to begin the pastorate, and Chuck was right.
Well, Chuck Colson, absolutely amazing author, but you're talking about a man similar to yourself. This is a man that was on top of the world in terms of politics and ended up getting caught up in the Watergate scandal and went to prison and had an introduction to Christ and wrote books and ministered to people in the prison. And he ended up, as most people know now, was the real deal. And this was not just some kind of thing that you put on before the public. And Stu, we know that that's true with you too. You're pastoring and caring for people and loving people, and you've got 150 people that you really love up there in Denver. Tell us, in our final couple minutes here, who are the people that you find most commonly are not open to hearing about Jesus? Are they arrogant men who just will have their own way in their families and their relationships? Is it successful women who want to run the show and not be humble to their husbands? Who would you talk to now?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim. In general, atheists are much more willing to hear about Jesus than, say, the postmodern, what I would call the pluralists. The people who say, yeah, there's a God, but all God's gods, and from each religion, it's the same God. And those are really difficult conversations. Ministering to men like me who are in their, 40s and 50s that are in the middle of their career, and maybe accomplishing what they thought they wanted, though, not necessarily satisfied, is really hard rock mining. There's something about the fear of losing what one might have. And so that's a difficult audience. And yet that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is to just put a stone in men's shoes, just to think about, where real purpose and meaning lies in Jesus Christ. And, but the interesting part for me is it's often in the what people would call spiritual or pluralist arena that are harder to talk to about Jesus than even the people who are non-Christians or atheists. And so I think we need to be really careful out there as we consider our own faith, that we don't get mixed up with, this whole concept of pluralism, where any God has got the real God, and that we're willing just to settle without the answers of knowing who the God of the Bible is, because those become some of the most difficult conversations that I have.
Well, I so appreciate what you're sharing. Stu, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry if they'd like to reach out to you?
Sure. They can get a hold of me on wallstreettothewell.com. They can get a hold of me through my email, which is stu@redemptionhills.com. They can order the book on Amazon or any bookstore, and the audio book is coming out here in the next few days as well. So they can order it both on audio and so forth. But they can get a hold of me through the website of my church, and or the website of my book.
Outstanding. Stu Fullendorf, thank you so much for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Brian Nixon. See you tomorrow.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.